Hey guys, thanks for listening to Kinda Dating, the comedy dating podcast where I, your host Natasha Chandel, and some cool guests break down the dating world and try to figure out, why the fuck do we all have commitment issues? Today's topic is insecurity. Fun one. Let's do this. Hey friends, thanks for listening to Kinda Dating. Hey, before we start, do you know we're on social media? Yep, all of it, at Kinda Dating. Be the first to find out about new episodes, who next guests are, and some cool behind-the-scenes pictures. Once again, that's at Kinda Dating, so follow us. Let's get into it. Today's topic is on insecurity. We've done an episode on confidence before, but let's flip that on its head and talk about insecurity. And I don't feel like there could be a better guest for this episode. It's a dear friend of mine, an old performer friend of mine, but she is a writer, producer of HBO's Insecure. I have Amy. How do I say your last name?
Aniobi.
Aniobi.
What were you going to say? What did your mind tell you to say?
Aniobi.
Hey, that's also correct.
Is it
that's
okay?
Fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Aniobi, though.
As long as it's not Aniobi or...
No. That I don't even know why anybody...
Aniobi is also good.
Yeah. That's like when people say... Chandel for me.
Oh,
I'm like,
yeah.
Why would that ever
Chandel?
Chandel. Like, ugh. Chandel. Chandel,
yeah.
People.
Yeah, you're like, come on, make it fancy. Put also, some respect on my name.
So, guys, Amy and I used to be on an indie improv team back in the day. That's when we met. Then I found out, like, low key, that you're a writer and that you were a writer on one of my favorite shows, HBO's Silicon Valley.
Awesome.
I love that show.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
like,
great
obsessed.
Because it's so true to that world.
Yeah.
You know, it like really nails how nerd culture.
Well, also, like, it's that one show that I feel like every time we're all one step ahead, we go two steps back. I'm like, fuck you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like every episode ends with a little bit of a, oh,
yeah.
They are going to make it. No, they're
not. And they're not. And yet it works every single time. Gets me every time.
I'm glad that you...
It really does.
I'm glad to hear that it works.
And now you're on the hit show Insecure, mm-hmm. But you used to work with Issa Rae back in the day, right?
Yeah. So Issa and I actually went to college together, and I knew of her in college. And when I moved out to L.A. was right when she was starting her web series, Misadventures of Awkward Black Girl. And her producing partner at the time, Tracy Oliver, who, shout out to Tracy, she wrote Barbershop 2 and the upcoming movie Girls Trip coming out soon. And Tracy contacted me and was like, Issa and I are hiring writers for her web series. Would you like to submit a script? And at the time, I was in grad school at UCLA, like doing the MFA screenwriting program. And I was like, submit a script? Oh, you know me. Like, I'm in grad school. Like, if that's not script enough, I don't know. Like, I talked some big game.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I was
yeah.
just like, and then she was like, we've chosen you. And then the web series came out and it was so huge. And I was like, oh shit, maybe I shouldn't have been such an asshole. I was like, I'm not submitting anything to you. You've read my work. And then in retrospect, I was like, I should have been more
except it worked out.
And then I was like, thank God that you guys picked me. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
And I was so happy. And yeah, so I started writing around like episode 5 of season 1 of Awkward Black Girl. And I wrote for all of season 2 as well. Season 1 with a writing partner. And then season 2, wrote a couple episodes on my own. And then Issa and I have just stayed in touch like ever since that. And after like being staffed on a few shows down the line, every time I got staffed on something, I would always email her and just be like, say the word, girl.
Yeah,
and I'm
yeah.
back because I love you.
I know.
And then
right?
like it's so amazing to see like, you know, the progression of like when your friend is on their grind and you're
totally.
Focused on your thing. And it's
yeah.
like, and just like being conscious of, you know, wanting to work together again and seeing it come around again has been just a wonderful like experience.
And you've blossomed a lot because you do now, you're also in front of the camera, and I saw you did like a series with Amy Poehler, Smart Girls.
Yes, I did,
which was so good.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's called Modern Manners, and it's just about like rules of modern etiquette for the smart girl in a modern world. And it's not really like what side of the plate does your fork go on, but like what is social media etiquette with your coworkers? Right. You know, it's like that sort of bent. And it was so much fun to do. And I love the message of smart girls. Like Amy Poehler, who also is a founder in UCB, which is where we met. She obviously has a very positive message for young women. I really got into that. And they even asked me, they were sort of like, what made you so into manners? And I'm like, well, I was born in Texas and I'm a child of immigrants. Like, I couldn't know more about how to be proper.
Yep.
I couldn't mess it up more either. But also, it's just like you learn so much from being from the South and then trying to be American as a kid. So it's just sort of like all those things like make you an observer of culture, which I think helped me be a host for that show.
Yeah. I mean, I know as an Indian, too, we have to be very respectful of elders, especially. Yeah. And when I was young and when I got to college, I found it so weird to basically address my professors by their first name.
Oh, my God.
They'd be
so
like,
weird.
Charles. I'd be like, no, Mr. Felson. And then he'd be like, Charles. I'd be like, this doesn't feel appropriate for me.
Yeah.
And he's like, we're in university. I was like, all right, Charles.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like, okay. But
I'm
it's
like,
true.
Sir, Charles, sir.
Sir. Growing up, I like call my parents ma'am and sir.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
We say like auntie, uncle for anybody who's 100%. Like remotely an adult.
Yes,
you're like, oh,
auntie.
You're 5 years older than me. Hi, auntie.
Yeah, 100%. It's the same thing in Nigerian culture. And so like, yeah, when I got to college, same thing. And my first job, I remember my first job, I was working at the Outlet Mall near where I grew up in Allen, Texas. And like, I referred to my boss as sir, and he was maybe like 25 and I was 16. And he was so offended.
But
he
at
was
that like, age, did you feel old?
But I was like, you're an adult. Yeah. You're over the age of 18. Yeah. You're a sir. And he was just like, no.
That's like when I was 18, I remember going to clubs. And my girlfriends and I talk about this all the time. We used to go to the club. We used to see that 30-year-old guy in the club and be like, oh my God, what's a 30-year-old doing here?
Oh.
Like, why isn't he with his wife?
Oh my God. Where are your kids? Who's watching your kids?
Flash forward.
Yeah.
Here we are partying in clubs.
I remember going to Vegas for the first time when I was like 22 and seeing a group of like 35-year-old women in like bedazzled tops and high heels stumbling over each other drunk. And I was like, I turned to one of my friends and I was like, if I am ever that dumb when I'm old, kill me. I'm glad my friend
I know, right?
Pay attention to what I said because I should be dead now.
Yeah. Oh,
I'm like, let me live a few years longer and let me please be that fun when I'm their age.
But that's like a good segue into what we're talking about. Like those people are fucking confident.
Yes. Yes. Like
the opposite of insecure.
I want to be those women.
Yeah.
I'm like, can I please? I once I'm 40, if I'm not stumbling drunk out of somewhere, then I've dried up.
I know. Now it's like the opposite we were thinking. What have you learned about insecurity from just like your show?
From the show, I mean, I guess that everybody has it. It's more like what I've learned about it from life. I think what's so great about working on this show is just exploring how insecurity is universal.
Mm-hmm.
I was even having a conversation with one of my coworkers the other day that like when people are awkward or when I have an awkward interaction with someone, I always assume that they're extremely confident. Like I'm always like, you're so confident.
Oh, I know.
And it's me who's awkward. And she was like, I think the same thing, like in her own way. She was like, I always assume I'm the awkward one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like, I think we all are just like spiraling out in our heads. I think there are very few people who are actually confident.
Yeah.
And like, especially in the creative industries. I mean,
totally.
Like maybe like there are scientists somewhere who think they're amazing, but like out here, everyone's fickle and scared. So I think that people are just like filled with anxiety and often they mask it with confidence, but at the core, especially just like people approaching 30, people when they're dating, people in creative industries, like I said, and like people who have to put up a front in any way of adulthood, of like sexiness, of like, you know, artistic confidence, anything. You're always insecure.
We're sort of like I was just going to say, we're like innately insecure through all ages of our life. Like when you're a kid, you're insecure about being in school and like people liking you. And when you get in your 20s, you're insecure about like, who are you? What do I want? When you're 30s, you're like, oh my God, am I getting too old? Am I getting too young? By the time you're 40, it's just like always insecure about something.
There's always something.
But it's perception is also very important because when I was in high school, people used to think that I used to get told that if they didn't know me, I came off very cold. And that was because when I was especially around in like 12th grade, sorry, I am Canadian. I always say like grade 12. I don't know what you guys call it. You're a senior. When I was a senior in high school, we had this like big foyer in our high school. And I would just pick one point because I didn't like crowds. I still don't like crowds.
Yeah.
And I'd have to walk through the entire crowd in the foyer to get to the front of the building.
Yeah.
So I would pick one spot way at the end by the door and just walk towards it.
Yeah.
And doing that, I kind of blocked everybody out. But that was like my only way of being able...
Dealing with the crowd.
To deal with the crowd.
But you see, I would have seen you and been like, and oh people, my God, Natasha's so confident.
Oh no, I had a guy friend, he'd be like, he's like, we used to say hi to you and you just completely ignored us. And I was like, I'm so sorry. I was just singing songs in my head and walking to the spot because that's the only way I could handle being in a crowd.
Of course.
But it's so interesting because people think such weird things about
everyone's
each
reading
other.
Everyone else's veneer.
Yeah.
You know?
Have you ever dated somebody who's insecure?
Let me think. I mean, I want to say yes.
Yeah.
Yes, 100%. I mean, I've also dated people who don't think they're insecure at all.
Right.
Or at least give off that.
And yet actions show something else. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, like, I think when you get close to someone, you learn their insecurities, you know? So it's like, I think in the beginning of a relationship I always sort of feel like, oh, this person is like confident and like suave and
that's
they
so
know they're
true.
Sexy. They know why I'm here. And then you get to know someone and you start to learn like whether it's like financial insecurity or body insecurity or like, or, you know, job insecurity.
Totally. Or even self-image. Sometimes guys have self-image issues, too, a lot.
Even nationality insecurity.
Yeah,
like, I dated a Native American guy for a bit, and he was, like, he had a Native American ID card, and he hated, it was his ID because he was Canadian, so people very often wouldn't take his Canadian license.
Right.
And so when he'd go to buy alcohol, he was very insecure about buying alcohol because of the trope that Native Americans drink a lot.
Oh.
And I was like, whoa! And he was just like, when we'd go to the store, like anything, it was always kind of like this, like he would be weird about buying alcohol because he didn't want to show the Native ID card.
Right. Yeah,
and I was like, oh, wow, that's like something I never even would have thought of. And I was like, how specific and interesting. And I'm like, I'm just like, that's not something I'm culturally exposed to. I'm like, I'll buy the alcohol. It's fine.
It's another reason I wanted to do this topic was because it is such a complicated issue. I think I had written an article once that was like five qualities that turn heads away. And one of them was insecurity. And it's so easy to be like, you know, people who are clingy and that they're jealous. Like, nobody wants that person.
Mm-hmm.
But insecurity also has another side.
Yeah.
There's also the side that we're talking about people who've just, like, gone through shit in their life and, you know, don't feel as great about themselves. And, yes, though, I do believe that within a relationship, there's a level of it that's... you know, can become detrimental to your relationship.
Yeah.
And so it's not necessarily like the most attractive quality for people.
Mm-hmm.
But that said, everybody has it. There's so many variables involved in like what counts as insecurity.
Yeah, exactly. I think that like if someone is like, if they're bleeding insecurity, like the minute you meet them, it's probably like a red flag, which is unfortunate, but it's just sort of like, if you are having trouble like communicating or I don't know, just like having a date without like putting yourself down or like, you know, like just being or being really shallow or being very like having a lot of braggadocio, because I feel like also when guys like brag a ton, I'm like, oh, they're insecure.
Like Trump.
Yes.
Totally.
Narcissistically wounded.
Yeah.
I'm like, he's classic insecure.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like anytime a guy is talking a whole lot of game or putting himself down or nagging a girl.
Others down.
Yes. Or putting, and then I'm like, oh, you're insecure.
Yeah.
And it's like, if I'm encountering that on the first date, then I'm sort of like, okay.
Which is also so Hollywood too, right?
Yeah.
Like you go to parties here, everybody feels like they have to dress a certain way and act a certain way and you can't be blah, 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 blah. I'm just like, shut up. Like, just be a human. Like,
be
it's totally fine. Like,
be
let's just calm down and like not take life so seriously. And people who are like mugging and duck lipping everywhere you go, you're just like
the duck lips, man.
It's just fine. Like, people see your nice, pretty smile. And
yeah,
it'll
exactly.
Be good,
just be
you
normal.
Know? Yeah.
Take the filters off every
but
now and then.
But that's what I mean. There's so many, like, in the negative aspects of what insecurity is and the way it can rear its head are things like putting people down, jealousy, like we said, clinginess. I also think for girls, it can also be people who don't, or who are kind of scared to ask for what they want.
Mm-hmm.
That's because they're just scared of being rejected.
Yeah.
And and then also like the people who are just kind of loosey-goosey with somebody. They're just like, yeah, do whatever you want. Okay, sure.
Yeah.
Like, no boundaries.
I totally agree. Like, not being able to, like, communicate what you want,
mm-hmm.
or not having clear ones.
Yep.
I sometimes also read as a form of insecurity,
yeah.
because I'm like, not that, like, it, because it's a line, right? Because communicating what you want can become, like, someone who's just, like, inflexible.
Exactly.
And, like, that's not great either.
Yeah.
It's all, like, a tiptoeing tightrope of failure, above a pit of failure. But, like, I do think that, like, yeah, I remember one time I was at a restaurant and I got, like, a hair in my salad or something. And I was complaining about it. And the guy I was with was just like, no, 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 don't say anything. Don't say, like, no, don't send it back. And I was just like, okay. Like, I was on a date, so I'm not going to, like, tell him what I really feel.
Yeah.
But I was just like, okay. But when I was a kid growing up, my dad used to always say, like, I can mess up a meal on my own. If I'm paying for it, it should be right. And I was like, and with, like, you know, that those words might sound harsh. She said it with a smile to us home.
Yeah.
But, like, it's something that stuck with me. And I was like, if I'm going out to eat, if my, like, if there's a hair in my food, you got to be able to send
it back. Totally.
And if you're someone who that it makes you quake to demand the thing that you are paying for, then I'm like, uh-oh, what is that?
And people even, like, mistake that, because sometimes you requesting something, one, it's not an attack against the person, your server.
No.
It's just sort of like, hey, I'm sorry, I paid for this meal, and you're in a service industry. And I would like to be served the thing
without
that I paid for.
Part of your head.
Yeah,
in it.
Exactly. And again, it's not one person's fault. It's just kind of like there's a polite way of doing it. But yeah, I've definitely been in that situation several times where I've been around my Canadian friends. And once I moved to New York, I became a little more assertive and able to speak up about things. And they would just be like, no, don't say anything. I'm like, you're eating the complete wrong meal. Like, you didn't ask for this at all.
This isn't what you ordered.
They gave you something completely different. And they're like, no, no, it's fine. I'll just eat it. And I'm like,
And I'm like,
no.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I believe just how, like, being kind to your server says something about someone. Like,
Absolutely,
I can't tolerate someone who's, like, rude to a server.
Mm-hmm.
But it also says something to, like, just be like, it's okay. I'll stick with this thing that I, in any walk of life, you know, it's just like.
It's like settling.
It's like turning the wrong way down a road and being like, it's okay. I'll just drive this direction instead and go somewhere
else. Yeah, I'll just go
somewhere. It's like, what are you talking about? Like, no, you set out today to go to the mall. Go to the goddamn mall.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's like,
so
what are
true.
We doing? But
with insecurity though, like, again, because there's so many variables involved, when somebody feels insecure in a relationship, so I'm whatever going through something, is that a sign sometimes that, like, something's off?
When your partner feels insecure?
No, like, what if we're feeling insecure in a relationship? Like, do you think sometimes that that's, like, there's something off?
I think it could, yes, obviously sometimes that there could be something off, but I also think it could be a communication thing.
Because,
like, for instance, my boyfriend and I had a talk about, like, in my family growing up, I heard the words, I love you, all the time. Like, still to this day, on the phone, like, I call my parents, we say, I love you, like, three times a phone call. My brothers say, I love you, to me on the phone. Like, it's just very natural.
Yeah.
And his family doesn't really do that. So, like, after we did exchange I love yous, if it went, like, a lot of days before I heard it, I was very much like, do you love me? Like, I was like, I need to hear it.
Right.
That made me feel like a psychopath.
Yeah.
But it also, like, I needed to communicate that.
Right.
And it's like, if I'm feeling an insecurity and I don't speak up about it, that's like not speaking up about the hair in your salad.
Yeah.
It's like, you need to say what you want and not assume that your partner's going to guess.
Yeah.
So, and I think that's something that's hard, because I feel like, very often, I almost like, and I kind of hate to generalize, but I feel like as women, it's like, because we're so empathetic and empathic, and we can read cues very well, that there are times where I think, like, as women, we'll hint at something and assume that our partner
got
hears
the note.
It and
sees
it, you know? So it's like for a while I overcompensated with my boyfriend. I said, I love you like all the time.
Right.
And then he got weird and was like, why are you saying it? So are you planning on dying? And then I would like had to be like, we should talk about this how I need to hear this.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like he couldn't have known what to do if I didn't express it, you know?
Yeah.
So that's on me. And so I feel like anytime you feel an insecurity, when you are in a real partnership, like if you're fucking around, whatever, like if you're feeling insecure, move on.
Yeah.
But like if it's a relationship, then I feel like you owe it to yourself and your partner to bring the issue to the table and talk about it.
I asked the question because like in a couple of my relationships in the past, when I felt insecure, it was because I was feeling something was off. And I would like ask, and especially like my crazy ex, I remember being like, you know, when people start distancing themselves suddenly and you're like, hey, what's going on? Like, is something up, whatever, whatever.
Yeah.
And they like don't give you any answer, but you know there's still something up. Mm-hmm. Like I would start feeling really insecure. And that's when like a part of me came out that was like, well, where are you? What are you doing? Like, I don't understand. Like, you know, wanting to find things that, you know, on this phone
there
or something like that. No, they were there.
Oh, well, see.
But then
I
that's
mean,
the thing. Like,
and
so eventually I found out they were there.
Yeah.
And for me, it's just my own personal thing. I realized, like, if I start feeling something weird and off in a relationship, that where I start feeling insecure because I'm not generally in a relationship an insecure type of person.
Yeah.
Not like I don't have my issues, but, you know, that when I start feeling it, I'm like, trust your instincts.
Yeah.
It's like not the right thing for me. Yeah.
Like, because I think the worst thing is feeling it and then being like, well, I'm crazy. It's nothing. I feel like, obviously, not every minute of every day that I feel an insecurity, I'm like, well, let me tap in. Like,
exactly,
no.
Yeah.
But like in a relationship, when you're with someone, interacting with them every day, if you're having a feeling in the back of your mind, you got to listen to it. You know, it's like, what is this feeling telling me?
Yeah.
And especially like where cheating is involved, oh man, do we have a sixth sense? It always comes out.
Oh my God, always.
It always comes out. Like, what? Why? Yeah. Why? So it's like, why do people do it? It always comes out. The thrill and the rush will be short-lived and it will come out and you'll be alone. So it's just sort of like, do you want, so if you're feeling that emotion, then it's like, listen to it and have the conversation. And if your partner in talking to you can't reassure you and you still feel it, then either there are two things: either you're crazy or you're right.
Yeah,
which one is it? And then it's like, you know, you gotta figure it out. Like, you gotta decide, you know, look at your past. Have I been a crazy person to date? No. Well, then maybe it's column B.
That's what I had to come to, like, realize, where I was like, is it me? Is it me? Like, what the fuck? And then I realized, like, my best friend was like, you are always right. Like,
yeah, with
don't
those,
like
those
stop,
sort of...
stop like questioning yourself. I was like, right, right. So like now I've become very stern about trusting my instincts.
Yeah,
with it. But it took a while of you know, figuring that out.
And it also takes a record, right? It takes a record of being right to know that you're right.
Yep.
Because the first time it happens, of course you're going to beat yourself up and be like, oh, is this insecurity like actually real? But then once you've had evidence of being right in the past, you're having friends co-signing you, you're talking to your partner, they're still being shady. It's like, I don't even need to look at your phone to know something's up.
Yeah.
You know?
Do you think the girls who are kind of more independent, I would say like us, I would say like most of the girls in this room, there's Aisha and our friend Asia here
y'all
with
look
us today. do you think there are more guys who get insecure with us?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. 100%. Because I think the dynamics are shifting, right? Like, before, it's like you found a man and then you got pregnant and you quit your job and you stayed at home. And it's like, power to stay-at-home moms. Like, you know, it's very difficult and rewarding at the same time. But so is having an out-of-the-house career.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like when you are someone, like, it's hard to, I guess, negotiate the new roles that women are having with how society has taught us women are supposed to be. And it's happening on both sides, right?
Totally.
Like, dudes are like, it's not like I've dated a guy who's like, so when are you getting pregnant?
Yeah.
Like, that's not happened. But there is this thing where I'm like, oh, I gotta go because I have to go work.
Yeah.
And like, it's not that they're mad you have a job. It's not that they're mad that you can feed your own face or stuff your own face, feed your own body. It's just that it's setting up a dynamic in which you are not the most, they are not the most important thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like, I think there's this.
Or the main provider.
The main provider.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which
both.
Is a very biological tendency.
Exactly. And I think that's something like, you know, that it's hard to negotiate in an early relationship. And once you get into it and you start to talk about it, it is kind of like, okay, well, what are the other ways that you can be a provider to me?
Yeah.
You know, because it's sort of like, I look at my parents, for instance, like my mom out earns my dad. And so I've been used to that.
Yeah,
and it wasn't like that when
house,
I was very young. When I was very young, my dad made more money than my mom. And then as I grew up, it switched.
Same.
And it was so interesting. Mm-hmm. And like, seeing them negotiate that change, and obviously as a kid, I don't see, you know, I'm like, you guys are perfect and lovely all the time. But I know that there are some negotiations behind closed doors, and it's like just seeing the shift and seeing like her decide like, oh, your dad's taking care of this now. Like once I got to high school, my dad was in charge of like picking us up from school and all that stuff. And it's like, that's how he's providing while she is working these long hours, you know? And it's like, there was sort of a trade-off in providing. But I do think like it takes a strong man to love a strong woman. You know, it's like a guy who's not going to be like, oh, where'd my dick go?
Yep.
Because his like wife earns more money than him.
And like, you know, the sign that we were saying of like guys who end up, you know, boasting about themselves is like a sign of insecurity. The one note that I would give every girl out there is if you meet a guy and he says, it's just because you've been dating boys, you need a man.
Ew, gross.
That's
what?
Like a number one sign that he is going to be the boy.
Pass.
And that's happened to me like almost every time I've ever dated a dude. They're always like, thank God my boyfriend now hasn't said that to me. But
God.
Like almost everybody in the past.
What?
When I tell
who
them
are
about
these guys? I've never heard that.
Grown men. Who are all literally always use that line.
Excuse me.
It's because you've never dated a man.
You've never dated a man. I'd be like, okay. So.
And I'm like,
Yeah. And they're driving like
category.
A Land Rover.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's like, oh, compensating for something.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Is it a sign? So sometimes like people make us feel insecure. That's personally, I think that's just abuse.
Yeah, I 100%. I think when people do that, you know, it all goes back to like people's own insecurities. Like when they feel like when you're dating someone and they like I said earlier, like the negging. If you're dating someone who feels like they have to neg you to like get ahead in the relationship or to have one up, it's like run.
And let's explain negging to people. It's like the like when you're kind of like. Is it like your joke putting down people?
Yeah. Saying a negative thing to get a rise out of a girl.
Yeah.
And so like guys do it in bars a lot where it's like, I knew I had to come over and talk to you and your pretty friend.
Right.
Is a very soft neg.
Ew.
Because it's sort of like, in saying that, you're implying I'm not pretty, which makes me want to be pretty, which makes me pay more attention to you. And
I've given the example here that when I was at bars before I drank, I would always just have ginger ale at a bar and people and guys would always come up to be like, what are you doing drinking ginger ale at a bar?
Yeah, exactly.
I'd be like, what? I was like, we're done. I would like tap them. I'd be like, or actually pat them. And I'd be like, well, we're done this conversation. You can go.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Not even engaging in this shit.
And that's still pretty light. Because I've heard of some harsh ones where guys will come up and like insult your clothes.
Yeah.
Or be like, oh, came out with no makeup. I think you're naturally pretty. And it's like, why would you say I'm clearly wearing a ton of makeup? Why are you saying I don't?
Assholes.
I'm not. And so it's just kind of like
guys listening to this. Please don't be that guy. Please don't be him.
Well,
it's really
here's the
insecure.
Thing. Yes, A, it's really insecure. B, the type of girl you're going to get with that, I guess, is the girl you want. But also, like, it's going to be an insecure girl.
Yeah.
And then C.
Yeah, because like attracts like at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You're going to always find your level.
You're not going to, like, be like, oh, and now I got a really bomb-ass chick who, like, you know, is the, I don't know. Like, that's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
If you're negging women. But I also think that comes from insecurity. Yeah. It's like, I feel like people who are really good at spotting other people's flaws are deeply insecure.
Yeah.
Like people who know the buttons to push, I mean. You know, like people who know the thing to say to cut you down.
Yeah.
It's because they are dealing with so much of their own bullshit.
Oh, totally.
That they are so adept at cutting people.
Yes.
You know, it's like they've had to be defensive in the past. They were bullied as a kid, whatever it is. But it's like there's some reason that they feel like they got to attack.
Yeah. But, you know, it's important to say that if you are in a relationship where you're dating somebody who's doing that to you as a guy or a girl, because girls can sometimes put guys down.
Oh, for sure.
You know, men can put women down.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out. Like, yes. There's no, you know, trust us that you can do better.
The way I put it, like, as a writer, for instance, because, yeah. like, I don't let my boyfriend read my writing.
Yeah.
My boyfriend
doesn't listen to the show.
Yeah. Sorry. It's not exactly. It's not that I don't let him. I just have never asked him to.
Yeah.
And as I put it as a writer, is like all day long, every moment of like a writer's life is having people give you notes. It's like you send something out into the world and then it gets torn apart.
Totally.
You put out your ideas that you worked hard on and then someone tells you why they're bad. So I'm like, I can't do that out there and then come home and do that. You know, so it's like I'm scared to ever have him read anything.
Because
if he were to say, you need some work, I'd be like, oh, well, I guess my partner thinks I need work. I better just quit, mm-hmm. you know. So it's just sort of like you want safety with your partner.
Yes.
You are already like just by nature, we think shitty shit about ourselves, you know.
Completely.
So it's like if your partner is giving you shitty shit, too, well, then fuck them and move the fuck on.
Yeah.
Because you're better off alone than with someone who makes you feel insecure about yourself.
And that's so true. Because being alone is awesome.
Yeah.
Seriously, is. I like loved my time when I was single and alone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like fucking loved it.
But it does take time
there
to get there.
Oftentimes I miss it.
It does take time to get there. Because I feel like I remember when I was single and I wanted to be dating so bad. And like people would say like, oh my God, you should love your single days. And I was just like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Like, I've become a pro at masturbation.
Yeah.
Fuck you. You know, but it's like, after a while... Sorry, am I allowed to curse?
Yeah,
I've been,
no.
like, cursing
Are you kidding?
Like
Are you kidding? We fucking curse. I'm pretty sure my opening said the F word.
Oh, yeah,
it.
Yeah.
We're all good in
I've
show.
Listened to past episodes,
yeah.
but there were some where there was bad language and some where there wasn't.
Oh, no, there's always
check.
Bad language.
But here I am talking about masturbation. Let's check
no,
that.
No,
Mom
you
Dad,
could totally
listen.
Do. Don't.
But the point is, it's like, I feel like when you're single, the grass is greener.
Yeah,
And then... And you, but also if you work on yourself when you're single, you can mm-hmm. get to a place, and I did, where I was very happy
yeah.
single, you know, and it's like I
just love the freedom.
Yeah.
I just love like being able to go out
to
whenever I want, come whenever I
yeah.
want, do whatever I want. Like,
exactly.
I love it personally.
Yeah.
But, you know, thankfully I'm also in a relationship that allows me to like be mm-hmm. that, but.
And a partner who respects that
exactly.
you enjoy
yeah.
that,
yes.
you know,
because
I
yeah,
think
yeah.
that's what it comes down to, is like being with someone who gives you the mm-hmm. room to breathe.
Yep. Because I hope he's secure.
Yeah. I'm really like cringing that I said that masturbation.
No,
line.
Don't worry about it.
What if
it?
My brothers listen to this?
Listen, that's how that was like me when I first started the show. Like I got to a point where halfway through I told my mom to stop listening. I was like,
yeah.
I can't talk
yeah.
about things knowing that you're listening.
Exactly.
My brother and dad don't give a shit about anything I
yeah.
do. So they're like, we're not listening to your show.
Yeah.
But like my dad's like, what's a podcast? Like, no idea what I'm doing.
My dad still says the Facebook, so I think
yeah,
I'm
yeah,
safe.
Yeah. And my brother doesn't care. My mom listens to everything because she
yeah.
like loves, and I just told her to stop. I
yeah.
was like, please.
We
did an episode on sex, and I had to be like, just stop
don't.
Listening now.
Yeah, I remember my parents, like, what they were like, we're going to get HBO so we can watch Insecure. And I was like, please don't. Please don't. Like, my dad, one of the first shows I was staffed on was the Michael J. Fox show, and my dad thought that show was too risque. Like, he was like, I stopped watching that show. It got very racy when a white woman and a black man were kissing in the workplace.
Oh my.
And I was like, wow. I was like, you need to just
yep.
stay over there at NBC.
Yep.
Do not follow me to cable. And they finally did get HBO, and luckily they were so bad at setting it up and when it came on that they missed my episode, which involved
hilarious.
Like three very graphic like sex flashbacks, and they like watched the next episode and they were like, we saw these two girls fighting, did you write that? And I was like, we all wrote everything.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I was like, that was mine, they're all mine, all the good ones, the ones
so
with sex
funny.
Are not mine.
Guys, we're going to continue this conversation with Amy on insecurity, and we're going to talk about how to deal with someone else who's insecure and maybe how to handle yourself if you are. But first, this message. And we're back. You're listening to Kinda Dating. I'm here with Amy Agnew. Oh my God, I'm doing that again.
You're so funny.
Now I freaked out.
You said it right.
Agnew.
Yes.
I freaked out.
It was perfect. You can start over if you want.
I got really insecure.
Hey, that fits the theme. Now you can't start over. It's in the show.
Hey, guys. We're back. Thank you for listening to Kinda Dating. I'm here with my friend, Amy Anyobi. We're talking about insecurity. And we didn't talk about this so much, about like insecurity on first dates.
Oh, yeah.
Because like,
that is real.
Everybody's, but there's again a fine line to walk in terms of insecurity and fear. Like, a little bit of fear is normal.
Yes.
You also just don't want to be the one who like is on the first date going like, did you go on any other dates? How many dates do you go on every week? Like, what do you do with them?
Exactly.
Did you bring anybody else here?
Or talking about exes.
Yeah.
Or talking about, there's something so awkward about the first date. And especially like now in like app culture, you like know so much about your date before the first date, which breeds another type of awkwardness because you don't. I remember just always having to like be like, did I know that from their profile or did I know that from stalking them on Facebook or did I know that from looking at their LinkedIn or did I know that from Tumblr? Like, it was just like,
especially if you have multiple
deep dive,
dates in a
man.
Week.
Yeah. Like, oh, my God. Yeah, there were times where I would have in my like calendar. I'm such an addict to my calendar just because I'm busy. And like I would put like different dates on different nights and I'd be like, Kyle. And then like. For instance, I never went on a date with a Kyle. He sounds like he has blonde hair. But I would put in like the like memo, like blonde hair.
Yeah, yeah.
Kayaking. Where you met.
Yeah, yeah.
Tinder. You know, like all the things,
the
notes.
Stats. Yeah, that's what
and
I would
like,
do.
Here are the things you're allowed to talk about. Kind of because I was like, I wanted to. And then sometimes guys like give you shit. Like if you're like, so what do you do? And it's like. Well, I said in my profile that I'm a... And I'm like, yeah, but I'm trying to have first date conversation.
I know.
You know, it's like, we got to talk about something.
I know.
But
I mean, because I'm asking it because, like, girls sometimes... a lot of my girlfriends are pretty harsh about first dates. And they're like, oh, well, he wasn't confident on the first... I'm like, girl, come on. One, you're beautiful. And two, like, yeah, he'd be shitting his pants. So, like, relax. Give him a second shot.
Yeah.
I tell people to sometimes give it a second shot, especially if somebody's 100%. Nervous the first date.
I totally agree, because I think nervousness can often be read as lack of confidence.
Yeah.
And like, as a highly anxious and nervous person, I have a weird knack for covering it up on dates.
Yeah.
Like, I find that, like, in my history, I'm a great first dater. Because I act like I'm at an improv show.
Oh,
like,
totally.
I'm just, like, put on a facade.
That's how I am,
like, the
too.
Chris Rock thing. Like, you're a representative of yourself. And I would be the best version of me.
Yep.
So, like, I'm great on first dates. But I know inside I'm, like, dying and I'm terrified. And so if a guy is giving me that energy, I'm not really judging him.
Yeah.
And I always say, if he's normal and you don't think he's going to, like, cut someone with a knife, give him a second chance.
Right.
You know, like, I'm always like, are you normal? Did I laugh once? You get a second chance.
Yeah. But also, like, if you're going into the first date and you're feeling a little insecure, you know, and this is kind of going to come to, like, how do you deal if you're an insecure person, you know, is also to, like, get out of your head a little bit. Like, relax.
That's definitely true. I think the relaxing thing, obviously, is very hard. I think one thing that I would do, I had, like, pump up date music.
Mm-hmm.
Like, music I would listen to before going out on a date. Usually, like, sexy music, like, you know, some... Beyonce Lemonade, like, you know, like that kind of thing, so that I'm getting in the mood of a date.
Uh-huh.
Like, I want to have sexy times with someone, so let me be sexy.
Yeah.
I would also like have a drink, like one, not a ton, you know. I would have a snack and a drink before I go out because I don't want to be drinking on an empty stomach on the date. And also, when I'm drunk, I tend to believe I like someone more than I do.
It's true.
So I would always like, so I don't want to be drunk on the date, but I would have a drink and then brush my teeth after the drink so that I'm not smelling like alcohol. I also very often would get to the place and then wait for him to arrive.
Right.
And hear, oh, I'm here. And I'm like, just parked. And then I'd walk in so that I, or if I, it was a place I knew.
Yeah.
Then I would want to get there first and like be at the bar and I'd be early
mm-hmm.
and wait, you know, and already have my drink there like when he arrives so that there's no like, what are you drinking? Like all the operators would be like, oh, I got a, you know, Sauvignon Blanc. Get whatever you want.
Yeah.
But I had like little tricks, if you will, to like try and like make myself feel more comfortable on the first
date. Totally.
I also kind of had a date outfit. Like, I never had to think too much about my clothes.
Yeah, yeah, because you knew what
I'd always be like, first date is this outfit.
Because you knew you felt good in it and whatever.
Yeah.
And that's so much about being, like, secure is like, building yourself up and building that confidence up so that you feel good in all situations. Like, one of the things... you know, because what you said, like people, my friend does the same thing. She drinks before she goes on a date just so she can like loosen up. But and that's totally fine. And yet I'm sometimes just telling her, I'm like, girl, you're awesome in general. Like you don't even need that. But like I get that you feel like you need that. Just don't make it as like a crutch long term, because at some point, look, you're the reason you're going on a first date. Is because hopefully you want a second date and maybe a third date. And maybe that first date turns into forever.
Yeah.
Let's all be fucking real about it. Like, that's why we're all going on dates in the first place. So, like,
a lot of people,
you want that person to know who you are. They're going to know who you are eventually.
Right. But
so might as well just, like...
Yeah, totally. Be yourself. Be you. But I also think that, like, I do believe in that you're representative of yourself.
Yeah.
The first date. And... like, it's almost like, really, like, think back to any of the first times you've had first date, first, like, sexual experience with someone. It's like, how rarely are we sober for those firsts? It's because we're scared.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like you...
I was sober for everything, guys. I was,
yes. Yeah,
I
exactly.
I just started drinking
you
a
weren't
year and
drinking.
A half ago.
So, oh my God, I can't even imagine what your brain must be like if you're very calm or very anxious.
Well, I tried. There have been times that I think I'm because I didn't...
Yeah.
I just dealt with it. That I was like... It made me stronger to really analyze and reflect on myself
so
and be like,
true.
Well, why am I really nervous right now? Well, I'm nervous because this is happening and blah, 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 blah. You know?
Yeah.
And
exactly.
So then I would like really deal with it right away and kind of.
Oh my God, that's
project.
So good.
But that's it. Now that I do drink.
Be like, I'm not that nervous.
But now that I do drink, it's way more fun.
Yeah.
And I'm probably like a little too candid now.
But also, I think that like maybe, but I also think candidness is honesty. And if you can, anything that, well, not anything, but like if it helps you be a little bit more honest with yourself.
Yeah.
Because I think even though. Me three drinks in is very different from me sober.
Yeah.
But me one drink in is me sober, but a little bit more confident. And not to like be like, everyone go drink. Like,
no,
you
no,
don't have
yeah.
to drink. But like, I think it could be like, you know, eating a cookie.
Yeah.
Like it can be anything that just makes you feel like good,
yes.
you know, before going on a date, you know?
And that's, I think in general, like if you are somebody who might feel like maybe you're not as confident as the person next to you, do some of these things that like make you feel good and strong. And like, I always tell people, build yourself up like little by little so that it becomes kind of a daily habit. Like do one thing a day that is for yourself that makes you feel good. Like I owned this moment. Like I made this decision. I made whatever. And that becomes like sort of a little habit that you do. And then it becomes easier and you start. You know,
and even like that's such a good thing to do, even when going on first dates. Like, even like, oh, maybe I have my date outfit, but next time, what are the different earrings I'm gonna wear?
Yes.
Next time, am I gonna wear a ring? Next time, am I going to wear a shaded lipstick?
Yep.
You know, am I gonna have a Kylie Jenner lip?
Yeah,
it's like, what are you going to do that's a little bit different to make this feel a little bit special? Because I do think there's a habit of like kind of getting in the routine of first dates, and then what used
to
be nervousness.
Like the same thing all the time.
Yeah, it's the same conversations.
Yeah.
It's like what used to be nervousness turns into like kind of like, I guess, like a boredom. And it's like I started getting to a place where I was like, I'm going on first dates for me, not for them. Like I saw your picture, I saw your profile.
Yeah.
I think you're cute. So from here on out, all you can do is mess it up.
Yeah,
you know. So I'm like, for me, I'm like, I assume they're not gonna like me, which might be negative, but I'm like, they're not gonna like me, so all I can do is perform. So I'm just like, I'm gonna go and I'm gonna be the best version of myself, and if they don't like me, oh well, I got better at performing you know. And I'm like, maybe that's weird, but like it made dating like more approachable to me and less like, oh, I got this fucking date. Like I was more like, oh, I'm going out and like doing the Amy show.
Well, also, it just reminded me something you said is like on the whole UCB thing, to get out of your head sometimes, the best way to get out of your head is to listen. listen to the other person tell stories and talk and like ask them questions. It is so that it's off of you a little bit and the pressure is off. And then you can, you know, once you're listening and you feel like a natural segue to put in something, a story about yourself or whatever, then you can come in and, you know, share a little bit. And that's how that give and take starts happening is, you know, if you don't want to be the first one to initiate.
Yeah. I went on a weird date once where maybe this guy was insecure or I'm not sure, but he kind of, he like didn't talk almost the whole date. And
he was
probably got there
scared.
And this is before I got better at dating. It took me a long time. Like I would say really like a year or 2 years before I felt like, oh, I'm good at dating, but I didn't used to be. And I showed up and I was nervous and like, sat down and this guy wasn't really giving me much and I was asking questions, but like he would just kind of like, nod. And so I was like talking and I'm like just trailing off. And like it was just very like forced and awkward and weird. And I was like, why isn't this guy talking? And at the time I was like, oh, he hates me. And maybe that's true. Like maybe he does hate me.
Most likely,
but also on the other side of that is maybe he was just really nervous. But we'll never know because I never communicated with him again.
Of course, it can happen. I think also if you're an insecure person, to try not to focus on the negatives. Like, again, the it's the affirmations we tell ourselves also. It's like, nobody's going to like me. They're not going to like me. We walk into a date already telling ourselves, that person's not going to like
me. I know.
And it's just like, just stop yourself at that point and just be like, just kind of be like, however it'll be, it'll be. You know, if it's meant to be, it'll be. So that you could just stop that like negative train of thought.
Yeah, I'd say something that helped me with the negativity, because even though I was like, I'm going to go perform the Amy show, there was like a little bit of, I started messaging a little longer, like before going on the date.
Yeah.
And then I sort of was like, and I would ask, kind of like set them up to ask me out in my messaging. And I'm like, and if they didn't take the bait and I had to ask them out, then I was usually going into the date with that. And he's not going to like me.
Yeah.
Oh, well, let's just see how this fucking goes. But like if I set it up and they alley-ooped it and swish, then I'm like, are those basketball terms? Alley-oop, swish? then I would assume.
Girl, I don't do sports.
I have no idea. I like just said words. If the ball went into the net hoop, then I would know. Like if I set it up and they asked me out, then I'd be like, oh, they like me.
Yeah.
You know, and I think there is some value in trusting the response you get.
Yeah.
You know, because I think often we do this legwork online. They like your photo. Yeah. Wear a match. We message back and forth. They make you laugh. You set up a date. And then some reason you're still going into it being like, I bet they're not going to like me. It's going to be horrible. Oh, it's going to suck. And I'm like, literally, if I'm vetting them through our mutual connections, they're doing the same damn thing.
Totally.
So I'm like, why would you go in assuming the worst?
Yeah. And it's that's also kind of the other part of the don't be negative is like, stop inventing problems for yourself.
Yeah.
Like, whether you're in a relationship or not, people, you know, start going like, well, no, this, you know, this thing that's happening isn't going the right. It's like, well, are you sure that's not just made up in your head? Because it's really not happening in a relationship. Just calm down.
Yeah.
My boyfriend and I got into this weird thing where he was telling me the other day, like, sometimes I just feel like nothing I do is enough. And I was like, oh, okay. And it felt like a counseling session. I was like, oh, this, because I totally know I've never said anything to him that would make him feel like that. So I go, so what made you feel like that? When did I like say that to you? And then he brought up some tiny situation that he completely misinterpreted. Yeah. And so I was like, oh, no, I meant it this way. He's like, oh, okay. Well, like that was. Then I'm like, is there anything else? And he's like, no. It's like, so it was in my head. I was like, so bitch, this is all in your head.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You know, but again, you're just like inventing a problem that like didn't exist. But I was like, okay, let's rationally break this down. What's happening?
And also those words like always, and I always feel like I'm never enough. You know? It's like all those words that put you in poles, you know, like,
but I mean, for him, I realized it was because he had been with some crazy bitches who had like made him feel like that. So I was like, okay.
Yeah, it's past insecurities.
Exactly. He was projecting it onto me, and I knew that I hadn't done anything. So I was like, let's talk about this rationally. And like, and then once I broke down that thought, he was like, oh, yeah.
But that's something that's so interesting, because obviously on a first date, hopefully, you're not dealing with people's like baggage. But once you go past date one, everything is baggage. Like everything is past relationships coming
up. Nowadays in 2017, how many dates have you guys been on that's like you hear their baggage right away?
I feel like that probably does happen on date one for a few people.
Like nodding. She's like, yep. You hear lots of baggage on the first date.
Yeah, that sucks. I
don't like want to be heard. People just are like, listen to my story.
Yeah.
I was XYZ.
Hello. I'm Clint Jackson. You know, listen to my story.
It's me.
And you're like, no, I want to be on a date with you.
How do you deal with somebody who's insecure?
Conversation and communication. Mm-hmm. It's like literally all there is communication. Yeah. If you don't talk it out, then what are you doing? It's like all you can do is communicate. I do think, especially when it's a relationship, like dealing with insecurities, like in other venues of life, you might just have to like move on and be like, all I can do is do me and like act in a way that shows that I'm not the problem they think I am.
Totally.
But in relationships, if you want to see a future with that person, I think you do need to point it out. And like the way I choose to do it when insecurities, especially like with past relationships come up, it's sort of like cite a few examples. It's never just like, there it is, that thing you just did, insecure. But it's sort of like, okay, I see a pattern.
Yeah.
Last week you said this, like 2 days ago you said this, and just now you said this. It's making me feel that you are feeling a certain way about XYZ. Yes. Can we talk about it? Yeah. Are you open to talking about it? And it's like,
I was going to say the key word is also you. It makes me feel this way, because I think like that's what I've personally learned in the past. I used to say a lot of like, well, this, you know, this happened in my past relationship, this happened and this happened. And I never said why I still didn't like a certain behavior.
Yeah.
I was always like, well, don't fucking do this because, you know, like this person did this to me. And he'd be like, I didn't fucking do this to you. I'm like, yeah, but this happened to me.
This has happened.
And then, but really it was just to say,
When this happens,
I feel this way. And I really don't want to feel. Yeah, I don't want to feel this way. And then when I realize, like, when people understand the way you're feeling about a situation, they're more amenable, you know, like they want to fix it. And and like that's how I'm starting to have more conversations.
100%.
With people.
I also feel like insecure. Sometimes with guys, like they may not always clearly state how they're feeling.
Yeah.
And so sometimes you do kind of have to dig.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, well, you reacted this way. So what do you think that's saying? Mm-hmm. And then they might have an answer and you're like, I sort of feel like this. Would you agree or not agree?
Yeah.
It's a lot of questions.
It is a lot of questions.
Just posing a lot of questions. Yep. But I do think like in doing that, like hopefully you get to have a conversation, not just about what's wrong, but also about what like in the future can be made right.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, okay, so in your past relationship, you had a partner who cut you down a lot. So when I said this benign thing, you thought I was digging, but I wasn't. When I said it, I meant this.
Yeah.
So now can you like, you know, separate me from the memory of your partner and know that I'm not someone who does that.
Yeah.
And so give me the benefit of the doubt. Yeah. Like, you know, it's like you can have a conversation about the issue and tools to use going forward. Yeah. You know, if it comes up again.
That's it. If you're, you know, again, with the spectrum of insecurity, the people who are jealous and clingy and like more on like the really hardcore negative insecure side of, you know, putting you down, whatever. I think it's important to say don't accept responsibility for that person's insecurity. Like if you're not doing anything that other person's jealous and crazy and like, you know, one of my exes who I was with for many years, the demise of our relationship was, you know, we were together 4 years and it came to a point where he was so insecure with me because people had kept telling him, damn, how the fuck did you get her? And so because like I found out that that's what people were saying to him, when we would go out, it came to a point that if anybody even happened to glance over my way in like a club, like I was just standing there and they were just looking around and I happened to be in that path, there'd be a fight.
Yeah.
And so it came to a point that I didn't like going out with him. I didn't want to, you know, because I was like, he's going to get angry. He's going to fight. I don't want to like.
Yeah.
And when that and then it came a point where I was a publicist and I would have to have clients.
All you do is meet people.
And I'm like mixing and mingling. And then I wouldn't do it. But people would come up and give me the, you know, the two cheek kiss.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't do it back because he was right there. But like he would get angry at me. He's like, why the fuck did you? And I'm like, I didn't do anything. I literally didn't do anything. I can't control what somebody else does.
Yeah. And once you explain the situation, like, you can't make him learn. He has to want to learn it, you know? And so once you explain, like, hey, this is my job, and also I'm with you, and also I don't care about these people, and also all the things, and I see you're feeling insecure about this, but reminder, like, those are not things that I'm thinking, and da-da-da-da, and all that. If those I kind of feel like if you have the conversation three times, it's like, what are we doing?
Yeah. And that's where it's, like, the finding the balance of, like, how much of yourself you want to change for the relationship. Like, I don't think that you should compromise your largest values to accommodate somebody else's insecurities. Sure. You know, I do think that there's a give and take, for sure. There's an understanding of one another, for sure.
Yeah.
There are pivots, for sure. But there's not, like, your baggage is my baggage now, and I have to fucking add extra weight to my, you know.
That is something that's pretty... It's hard, and that's why I think, like, all couples, everyone should be in therapy, but, like,
I think it's
important to, like, check in with an objective party every now and then, because I think it is very common in a relationship to make your partner's baggage yours.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, and if you do that, then you're carrying two bags. It's too many bags. It's Put a bag down. Yeah. It's like, you can't be carrying your baggage and theirs.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like, once you have these conversations and you can separate, oh, this isn't my issue, this is your issue.
Yeah.
The horrible thing in that situation would be for you to, like, never go out again and never greet clients and never have male friends. Like, that would be horrible, because now you've made his baggage your baggage. But if you can say, hey, I need to do these three things to be a living, breathing human in the entertainment industry, you have to get on board with this. We need to have conversations about how you get on board with this.
Yeah.
And if that person can't meet you, then it's sort of like, oh, okay, well then.
Right.
Like, this is a limited relationship, which sucks. Like, it sucks to find that out. There are times where you're in a relationship with someone and you have those talks and you're like, oh, this relationship is limited.
Oh,
like, it's not going to be forever or you know, what? Or we're going to continue having this fight for the rest of our lives, which is another, like, how exhausting.
Oh, my God. So
who wants to do that?
So is it worth, finally, before we wrap this up, is it worth dating somebody who's insecure?
A 100% yes.
Because we're
we're all insecure. If it wasn't, I wouldn't have a boyfriend. And my boyfriend wouldn't have a girlfriend.
Right.
So it's just like, yes, 100% it's worth it. We're all insecure. Yeah. And it's all about just figuring out how to communicate our insecurities and choose to move up or, like, rise above them.
And just make sure you're not being brought down by
Exactly.
Like, I think that's, like, the key definition is, like, how am I feeling in this? Like, did I feel better before? Do I feel better after this relationship? Mm-hmm. And, like, you're always going to have, again, like, little issues, and you communicate it, but, like, at the core, you should always feel a little better.
Yeah.
In
a
relationship.
Your partner should be lifting you up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amy, this was an amazing and fascinating and crazy and deep conversation. Thank you for that. Are you ready for your five questions?
Oh, yes, the five questions. Ah, yes, I'm ready.
It's our, we do five questions, our dating version of the Bernard Pivot questionnaire.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to ask you five questions, your answers, and you ready?
Yeah, okay. I'm ready.
Amy, here are your five questions. What is the first thing you notice about a potential partner?
Eyes, shoulders. Mm-hmm. Those are physical things.
Okay, it's all...
Non-physical would be humor and intelligence.
What is your one deal breaker?
Racism? I'm black, so if you don't like black people, GTFO, my mentions. But also, I would say bigotry on any level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good one for this time.
Mm-hmm.
What turns you on?
Cuddling.
Hmm.
A soft touch.
You and I are very different that way. Not a cuddler.
I'm such a cuddler.
Tell us one of your strengths and one of your weaknesses in a relationship.
In a relationship? One of my strengths is... oh my God, I don't know. I'm trying to think, what would Steve say? I'm like, do I have strengths?
Of course you do. Don't be insecure.
I know. Oh, I'm so insecure. One of my strengths is communication. I just learned that from my parents. Like, things go wrong, you got to talk it out.
Yeah.
And sometimes it sucks to have those conversations, mm-hmm. but like, you got to talk it out. Mm-hmm. So I think that like, I'm like a anti-confrontational person, but I love fixing. So yeah. I would say one of my weaknesses is insecurity. Mm. Yeah. I'm just really insecure. Yeah.
Makes you the best writer for the show.
Thanks.
Besides I love you, what three words would you want your partner to tell you?
I like you. Mm. It's more important.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Amy, thank you so much for being on the show.
Awesome.
How can people find you on socials?
Thanks for having me. Yes, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at JAniobi. That's at JANIOB as in boy, I, on all three.
Nice. And people can check out the new season of HBO's Insecure coming later in the year.
Yeah, yeah. And in the meantime, if you just want to follow and get a lot of gifts about the show, you can also follow Insecure on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Insecure HBO.
Dope. Can't wait for this new season. Guys, we're also on social. Remember I told you we're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram at Kinda Dating. And finally, Kinda Dating is presented by Meltdown Comics. Come visit us at 7522 Sunset Boulevard in LA. Thank you for downloading this episode. One day I'll be able to talk. Please take a few seconds and review us on iTunes and download the rest of our shows. We also have other podcasts like Pod Sequentialism in the Meltdown Network, so check that out. And send us your dating stories and thoughts to kindadating@gmail.com. Also, some topics you want us to kind of cover on the show. I've been getting some cool emails from you guys, so we're definitely going to get to some of those. But if you have more, keep them coming. And finally, I know it's tough out there, but just try. Till next time. The show is produced by myself and Mason Booker, who's also the audio engineer. Our associate producer is Aisha Holden. Opening music composed by Joe Lorenzetti, and our logo and graphics are by Jenna Yannick and K. Daniel Ellis.